Tift Merritt down the hall in KCPT TV Studio A with our own John Hart, getting ready for her show out at Knuckleheads on Sunday night. So without any further ado, John Hart, Tift Merritt, down the hall right here on the bridge.
I cannot think of a better way to end the week than with Tift Merritt in the studio. This is going to be really special. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on the new record, Stitch of the World.
Thank you.
You know, I was having conversations with some of your fans over the last few days, and they were getting awfully tired of waiting for this.
Well, I wasn't home, you know, sitting around eating bonbons, I promise.
Yeah.
I played in Andrew Bird's old-time band for a while, and I put out a record with a friend who's a classical pianist, but then I took a year off, and then I had a baby. So
yeah. I'm kind of disappointed. Somebody told me you might bring the baby.
Well, aren't there live microphones here?
Yeah, but that would just, you know, up the drama. You know?
Absolutely. Exponentially. No, she's a really good girl. I'll bring her next time.
Yeah, that'd be great. I really appreciate that. So you're actually, you're sort of doing a doubleheader. You're tonight over at Folk Alliance, and if people happen to be lucky enough to have a badge, it's at Benton's on the 20th floor tonight at 7 o'clock. Great view, great music. It doesn't get much better than that. And then Sunday, you're going to be playing over at Knuckleheads.
Yes, we're just doing a Kansas City residency. We're hunkering down here. We're eating barbecue. We have an Airbnb. We're hanging around.
So, you make it sound so posh. You really put yourself through boot camp for the writing of this record.
I did.
You went to California. You went to Texas. Both of these places, by your own account, were beautiful, but neither one was exactly, they both presented their challenges.
Well, you know, I think neither one of them are anything to complain about. They were both very lovely. But, I mean, I think writing is, you know, when writing is going well, it's still a hard, it's not an easy thing. Again, it's not brain surgery. It's not, but you know, it was. But I also think if you're making a record, it should hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to put something of yourself in there, and you need to risk something, and you need to explore new territory, and you know, that's from like all of the things that we do in our lives that we have to walk through the fear or push through with some courage. You know, it's the same thing.
Well, you know, walking through the fear, you literally took long walks.
I did.
And when you were in California, you took long hikes.
I did.
How much of the songwriting came from the walking and the hiking?
You know, it's funny, a lot of it did. And I think walking has such a nice internal rhythm, and I think you just can think clearly. And when you're sitting at a desk going, I better think something really smart right now, that doesn't happen. But when you're just out and a citizen of the world, that's when your mind is really open. I mean, other times that are really good are when you're driving and when you're just about to fall asleep and you go, oh, definitely, I'll remember that in the morning, and then it's totally gone. So
you don't keep a, you know, a pad of paper or, you know.
If I do that, I mean, you know, yes, I always have a pen and paper close at hand or an iPhone. But, you know, if you wake up, if you get up to write a thought down, you're up.
You know, I have to tell you that the new record, Stitch of the World, is a great record. But beyond that, the critical reviews on it are like almost gaudy. I mean, it's like, I don't know if you read your press, but, you know, holy cow.
I feel very, very grateful right now. And it's certainly, you know, you just, when good things come, you just have to be grateful because it's not always like that. I always feel so thankful that having put myself out there, you sort of, when people receive it kindly and generously, you feel seen, and you feel like it's, you know, it's worth it what you're doing. So it puts a lot of gas in the tank. I'm really thankful right now.
We'd love to hear some music if we could.
Absolutely. This is a song called Dusty Old Man. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he loved my hips. These on my mind make no difference. He won't back down, and he won't make plans. Oh, he's mean as a snake. He's my dusty old man. Yeah, he's mean as a snake. He's my dusty old man. He says, love me enough to write my wrongs, love me until the scars are gone. Dusty man, dusty old man, he'd call my dusty old man. Young man thinking of everything. For he even knows what he's seen. More real living than that young boy could stand. Yeah, down in the eyes of a dusty old man. Yeah, deep in the heart of my dusty old man. He says, love me enough to right my wrong. You want all you can do sometimes is say God damn. Yeah, and give your love to a dusty old man. Yeah, give your love to a dusty old man. Say love me enough to write.
We've been playing that a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. It's off the new record, Stitch of the World. Tiff Merritt, our guest today, she's going to be playing tonight at Benton's, part of Folk Alliance at 7 o'clock, and then Sunday night over at Knuckleheads. You know, you mentioned the baby. You actually wrote the songs for this pretty much before you found out you were pregnant.
Right. I didn't expect for that to happen. And I'm so glad that it did. But I wasn't writing songs about having a child or being a mother or any of that. And, you know, I know that that will influence everything that I do from here on out. And I can already feel it in my performing, in my music. But in terms of writing, that wasn't what this record was about.
You know, I just get the feeling that when you found out you were pregnant, it was sort of like, well, what does this do to my career? What does this do to this? What does this do to that? But at pretty much every step along the way, it feels like you've been pleasantly surprised.
Well, you know, I think I have always, always wanted to be a mother. And I think all women deal with this set of problems. But especially when you are an artist and you are living in a van and you're eking out a career and you're 40 years old and who you think you are is pretty set. I will say that being pregnant was a time of intense anxiety for me because I had no idea who I would be on the other side of it. But it turns out that I if I do have a calling, it's being a mom even more than being a musician.
You know, you even uprooted yourself. You know, you moved from New York to North Carolina.
You're funny. That's so funny. I did uproot myself. I thought you said upgraded.
No. Although I know that you do value that North Carolina pulled pork.
I do. And I'm from North Carolina. I've always had one foot and one half of my heart in North Carolina and then one half of my heart in other places where I've lived. I mean, being an artist in New York City is the best, and I miss it every day. It was not a glamorous move to go home for a person like me. It was not something my ego enjoyed a whole lot. But again, once my daughter got here and my mom comes by to visit and my dad pops his head in, it really feels very right and very important.
Yeah, you didn't know you were pregnant when you were writing the songs, but when you recorded.
I was very pregnant.
6 months.
Yeah. And, it's funny. I think maybe women who have lots of children are really lucky because they just understand what it is to be pregnant. And I was really lucky. I didn't know what I would feel like at 6 months. It was a real gamble. But singing pregnant was really wonderful, and you feel like you have this very special audience of one that's really sharing the reverberation of your body with you. So that was exciting. And I managed to really have a lot of energy in the studio. It did not affect that, but at about 9:30 every night, I mean, I would just be out.
You've referred to singing when you were pregnant. You've referred to it as having a conversation with your child.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Your whole body becomes a conversation with your child, and just your breathing and your pulse, and then to put a guitar on your tummy, and to I'm sure you know what it's like to sing really loudly or really, you know, to sing from the bottom of your heart, which we talk about that saying, but it's true. You know, that really, it takes your whole body when you're doing it right. And so you knew that I knew she could feel that.
Well, she was the rhythm section at times, right?
Oh, she kicked a lot, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I thought was really sort of interesting in a way is that, you know, down through the years, you've made quite a point of talking about the importance of your father sharing music with you, mm-hmm. and eventually sort of teaching you how to pick out songs.
Yeah.
And that clearly has reverberated enough with you that you're very careful about the music that you play for your own child.
It's true. Well, first of all, I stopped being able to listen to the news, so I really had to think about when I got up in the morning and had coffee, what was I going to show my daughter today? And I think about that in terms of what we read and where we go. And it was really exciting to say, okay, Jean, today you're going to hear Joni Mitchell for the first time. And I played A Love Supreme for her one day, and she just stared at the speakers. She was enthralled. So that is really fun to see. But, you know, it's really funny. My father and I are very close, and he did teach me all about music, and I think that was the way that we have been very close. And I think it will always be scary for him that I am actually a musician, because it's not a very well lit path. And I know, and now I'm like, Gene, this whole thing of going on the road, this is so you get sick of it and you think it's not fun and you become a doctor. So the roles are reversed.
That is so funny. We'd love to hear some more music. Would you like to introduce your cohort in crime?
No. Just kidding. This is the fabulous Mr. Eric Haywood on the acoustic guitar and soon the pedal steel. And I'm going to tune this guitar.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll just remind people that if you happen to be able to attend Folk Alliance tonight, if you've got the badge, it's a 7 o'clock showcase at Benton's. It's up on the 20th floor. Phenomenal view, great music. And then Tift is sticking around and doing a special show over at Knuckleheads on Sunday night. So a couple of chances to catch her. The name of the new record is Stitch of the World.
This is a song called My Boat, based on a poem by Raymond Carver. My boat is being made to order. Right now it's at the builder. My boat, my friends, room on board for my friends. I'm serious about this. My boat, George, Gary, Chuck, and Jim, room enough for all of them and my baby. On my boat, no one will be tonight. On my boat, on my boat, no getting ahead and falling behind. On my boat, on my boat, just having going on and on. Short ones, true ones in the made up, one still being written on my book. Cherries, chicken, cheese, and wine. Everything good that my friends like and my baby on my book.
was really lovely.
Thank you.
Tiff Merritt is our guest, the new album, Stitch of the World. You know, this album's only been out, like, less than a month. And, you know, just listening to it and knowing the timeline, you know, I'm wondering if some of these songs have taken on different meaning just in this short period of time, even for you.
No, even for me. And, you know, I've learned a lot from making this record. And records always have, you know, somewhere along the way, there's a story to every record. But this record has taught me a lot. And part of it was that it beat me up a lot trying to make this record. You know, I'm at this point in my life, I'm a writer, and that's what I do no matter what happens. And I was getting divorced, and it was really a time without perspective. And I think in a lot of ways I wrote this record as a prayer to press on, you know, that everything is going to be okay, even though it didn't feel like it would be. And now that I'm on a very different personal ground, and it feels like this very, I sing these songs now, songs like Love Soldiers On or My Boat, and I feel like I sing them to a world where the weather is really weird, and I need to remind myself, and every day after I look at my Twitter account, or, you know, as I'm out in the community, I want to be saying everything is going to be okay, and this is about the long game, and we have to believe in the things we started believing in the first place. And so that is a really different message that I honestly was whispering to myself and not quite believing it, and now I'm singing it from a different place, and I have to believe it.
You know, you mentioned Love Soldiers On. When I was researching this, I thought one of the most charming things that I stumbled across was the fact that you want to be a cowboy.
I do. Absolutely. I have an internship waiting for me in Texas on a ranch when this whole music thing blows over.
But you were on the ranch to write.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you just daily saw the work of the cowhands.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a romantic thing.
I think that daily life is where the mystery is. You know, I think if you can get up in the morning and eating and finding the day, if soldiering on, you know, it's really a thing of beauty and meaning and not just, you know, gnarly getting by. Because everyday life is a pleasure. And I don't, you know, I think it's really easy for me to romanticize ranch work when I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But I also know that a lot of those guys out there really love what they're doing, and they know it to their bones. And, you know, they know the piece of land that they're working, every nook and cranny, and they know the animals that they're working with, every corner of them. And I find that very much, you know, we give our lives to the things we spend time with, and that in itself is a thing of beauty. So I really would love to spend a few years being a cowgirl out there and having scrambled eggs and Budweiser for dinner at 6 o'clock and getting up at 4 a.m.
You know, that part of it is not that hard.
No, I can do that
Budweiser
today.
Budweiser and eggs part, you can pretty much lick really, really easily. So after you did some time in Texas, you went to California,
mm-hmm.
Like a sea cliff kind of area.
Yes.
But some long and pretty challenging hikes.
Yes.
Available. And you got lost at one point.
I did get lost.
And in true Tiff Merritt fashion, that was good for a song.
I'm lost a lot. there's a really beautiful national park right on the water, and you can walk on the beach, and then you go straight up this cliff up a mountainside and go back down through a river valley to get out, or a creek valley rather. And night fell as I was making my way back, because I was literally having to pick one leg up after the other to make it back. And in California, in this area, the number of calla lilies that were around, it was so stunning, and they're beautiful during the day, but at dark dusk, in the moonlight, they just come alive. They just jump out of the darkness, this ghostly, bony white. So it was really beautiful to see the landscape from that point of view. You know, I think that that is always good for a song, getting out of the way that you normally see something and looking at it with new eyes.
You know, all of the transition that you spoke to earlier, when you moved back to North Carolina, you had like support just sort of move in. You mentioned going out with Andrew Burt, and I think that was a part of it.
Yeah.
But also his Golden Messenger.
Yeah, those guys adopted me, and they all have kids, and Mike is a really sweet and supportive guy with a really strong moral compass on things, and he just said, "You're gonna be fine. You got this. You're doing it, and you're coming." And I went out on tour with them this fall. I started singing in that band, and I went out on tour with them this fall, just Gene and I. And you know, that really, I wasn't sure I could do this. If it was going to be something that Gene hated, that's the end. But she and I went just ourselves, and we had such a ball, and she loved it. She saw more dogs and playgrounds and people, and she was like, "Mom, I'm totally bored back at the nursery at home now." So their support they've taken me in as family, and that was really important.
And maybe the person that was most important to this record, Sam Beam of Iron and
Wine. Yeah, I bumped into Sam at the airport, and you know, this whole project had such an amazing dream cast, all of the musicians involved. I bumped into Sam at the airport, and I was really having a lot of self-doubt about the songs because I just didn't have perspective. And you know, at this point, it's really easy to say, and having perspective is really brave, and it pays off. You just let it go. But at that point in time, it was really scary, and I didn't know if I was making a fool of myself or if the record wasn't there or what. And I said, "Sam, can I please send you these songs?" And he said, "Yes, send them to me." And he called me up and he said, "I can tell you've been working really hard. These are really good." And he said, "I want to be a part of this." And that was really this huge, warm hand on my back that gave me courage to go forth. So he's a dear, dear person.
You know, all of the struggle. I mean, you've been doing this for a few years.
Lot of years.
Yeah. And, you know, it's sort of like you work and you work and you work. And it's sort of like, you know, God knows what the things are that put you in the right place at the right time or even the other side of the equation, right? And you know, you're on tour with Andrew Burt, and this unexpected email comes in.
Yeah. That you're talking about the good days. I thought you were going to ask me about the bad days.
No, we're done with the bad days.
That was a good day. I got this email from Don Henley, and honestly, we had been at a show in my hometown the night before, and I had really tied one on with some old friends, and I looked at the email and went, "Whoa, I got to drink some coffee. I don't know if I really saw that or not." And, you know, lo and behold, it was from Don, and it was very long, and it went on to say that he was recording my song Bramble Rose with Miranda Lambert and Mick Jagger. And, I mean, that was definitely one of those surreal moments where I was like, "Can somebody else read this? Because I think I saw what it said, but I don't really know if it really says what."
I mean, Don Henley's enough. Does he have to throw in Miranda Lambert
and Mick Jagger? So that was really quite a thrill and a real honor and very, very kind. And
now, you kind of knew that he was a fan, though, right?
I had heard a rumor when I was making Tambourine. Actually, the bass player in his band played on Tambourine and said, "I know you because we play your song Bramble Rose at soundcheck." But, I mean, that was like 16, 17 years ago. So I didn't, you know, who knows what goes on at soundcheck and what comes of it. I never thought about that again.
Nice little piece of validation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, those moments, I mean, it was funny you were talking about doing this for a long time and I don't know that whatever happens to you or whatever your job is, that conversation that you have with yourself about, "I wonder if I'm doing the right thing. I wonder if I'm doing it well. I wonder if I'm," you know, I think we all have those conversations. And at the end of the day, I think that happens no matter what happens to you. But those really moments of validation, those are, I think, truly for your family that, you know, told you to go for it when it was really crazy to go for it, and you know, cheered from the sidelines when there was no reason to. So, you know, that those are the things you write home with, you know, home about and say, this is for you. This is when you get to say, I'm a really good person because I supported somebody when it didn't make any sense and now it does.
Well, I think that there are a lot of us that are really thankful that you did go out there and do it. Tiff Merritt, thank our guest, you. New album, Stitch of the World. We'd love to hear one more song.
All right. I'm going to tune for 1 second and tell you about this song. It's called Wait for Me. And I wrote it on that ranch in West Texas where you could see for a really long way.
Driving west, gonna find something I ain't found yet. Hope it's there, hope it ain't left. Wait for me, wait for me. Back seat, wait for me, wait.
That's about as pretty as the song gets.
Thank you.
Tiff Merritt in our studios. And, of course, you can find out more at tiffmerritt.com. Stitch of the World, the new record. And I'm sure you'll have it at the merch table Sunday night at Knuckleheads.
I will, yes.
And, you know, just go to the show. Just go to the
show.
We really, you know, it's going to be a phenomenal night. And I think that, you know, with Tiff deciding that her primary role is mother, maybe we don't get quite as many chances to see you live. So
come on
out to Knuckleheads on Sunday night. And again, if you happen to be lucky enough to be a Folk Alliance attendee, there's a showcase tonight, 7 o'clock at Benton's. There's a gravitational pull back to Folk Alliance. It's such a cool festival.
Yeah.
And for you all to break away and come over here and spend the time with us this afternoon, especially knowing you got a showcase coming up tonight, it really is something we deeply appreciate.
Well, we really appreciate it, too, and you've been so sweet to us. Thank you.
Tiff Merritt, today on the bridge. Thanks for coming.